You had a busy work session Tuesday, that we talked about some calendar, we talked about some referendum. Why don't you get everybody caught up on what they might have missed?
Well, you know, I think what people would want to know, or what people were waiting for, was the recommendation from our calendar committee, which I believe was 23 people who started meeting last year, collected a lot of data, held public forums, worked with the Center for Education Evaluation Policy at IU, and then they came up with a calendar, and it was a lot of hours, a lot of work. And what they ended up doing was taking the calendar and saying that we will start on the second Wednesday in August, whenever that second Wednesday falls. So that really does start us later than what we have been doing, sometimes a week, sometimes more than that later, depending on how the calendar rolls out each year. But to compensate for that, what we're going to do, what they're proposing, is that we have a two-day fall break, which would occur on a Monday and a Tuesday, so it's a four-day long weekend, and then continue with the week-long fall break. And their rationale was because that's what IU is doing now, and so it kind of made sense. I think what the sense I got, Mike, is they were looking for some kind of compromise, because they knew people were interested in starting school a little bit later in August, but they still wanted to keep the fall break, and they still wanted to keep the Thanksgiving break, but it wouldn't work to keep them both at a week. So to me, that was a nice compromise to give people a little bit later starting date, but still have that fall break in there.
Sue Wanzer is our guest this morning. She sits on the MCCSC school board and joins us every Thursday morning just after 8:05. The interesting part of all of this that some folks like myself and Margaret were talking about yesterday, the HT story, while the calendars for the 16, 17, and 18 school years have later start dates, Bloomington High School North Principal Jeff Henderson pointed out that the school district will be short on breaks in the spring. The reason for the lack of wiggle room in the spring semester is due to the schedule for state-mandated standardized tests. Testing, it all revolves around testing. During the testing schedule, students have exams every month from February to May. What are we testing, Sue, that lasts that long, and why is that? Your quote's next, so I figured I'd just get that from you. But Margaret wanted me to ask, it seems like, why are we testing all that huge period? I thought I-STEP tests were just a couple weeks, and you do this, and you do that. Fill the folks in who might be confused like me.
Well, we've got testing windows, a time during which testings can occur, and we're not even real sure right now when that will be. So it was kind of tough to say, oh, okay, we'll take these days off and these days off, because it might fall on the time that the state schedules the testing. And we do have I-STEP testing at two different times. We also have I-READ, which is the testing for third graders to determine whether or not they're reading on level, and then they can advance to the next phase or to the next grade. So it's not saying that we're testing every single day, but we have windows of testing that it could occur during all those times.
When will the state when does the state let you know when these tests are going to occur?
You know, I'm not really sure when that happens, and that notification goes directly to superintendent. So we're not real sure.
Is this
right
some
now.
Kind of is this some kind of state secret where we can't be the only school corporation that has calendar issues that you'd perhaps want to know those dates? Why are these, shouldn't these be nailed in stone everywhere? If these tests are so important, shouldn't they be yelled from the highest mountaintop so everybody knows exactly when they should be prepared and ready to take them, since everything rests on their results?
Well, you would think so, Mike, but then again, you know, we've had tests, you know, that
surprising people doesn't sound like that's the way forward.
I know we've had problems with testing every year. We've had problems with the testing company. We've had problems moving from paper to computer-based testing. So, yeah, I'm not sure what the issue is, but it's with the State Board of Education and the Department of Education. So those are the ones who said that and will let us know when they do know. But Mike, you know, you're preaching to the choir. My quote in the paper was that testing is driving everything we do.
Well, that was my point.
Schools,
My point is these tests are so important, they should be nailed down in stone when they're going to be, so there's no wishy or washy, and everybody can prepare and get ready for them. Or is it like a pop quiz where you walk in on a Tuesday and say, oh, by the way, tomorrow we start these tests?
No, we will know before the spring semester starts.
Okay.
We will know that so that we'll be able to open those testing windows. But my frustration is that we're so consumed with the testing, and I know people hate that. But the fact is, it's kind of the reality, and I'll go ahead and speak against the testing because I'm an elected official and I'm free to say that, but I know that we have other folks in our school corporation who are really frustrated because they feel like all they're doing is preparing for tests, testing people, evaluating tests, assessing what that information needs. So it really is, it's very all-consuming, and that really is not the way teaching and learning was meant to be.
Well, we hope not, and that's the rules. You got to play by them until they change them. There's nothing much else can happen. Sue Wanzer is our guest this morning. She sits on the MCCSE school board. So next Tuesday, you will have had 6 days to digest all this information. The calendar goes in front of the board, and it's a simple yes or no vote, correct?
Correct.
You can't send it back and say, hey, tweak this a little bit, move that over here, do any of that. Basically, you are just putting the stamp of approval on what the committee came up with.
Right, and let me tell you a little bit more about the process.
Please.
We're the ones who charged that committee. We said we want you to create a calendar with these parameters. Election day, off of school, whether it's November or May, spring break aligned with IU and winter break ending before, fall semester ending before the winter break. That was the charge. That's what they did. So we charged the committee. They did what we asked them to. And I guess we could do anything we wanted to, Mike. We could send it back and say, tweak, but why? Everybody's been waiting for this.
Sure.
So we really have that freedom, but I don't imagine that we would try to overrule the charge that we gave to the committee, and they fulfilled the task that we gave them, knowing that that was going to be up to the committee. And yeah, so it might seem like it's just a pro forma stamp of approval, but we do need to approve it and we do need to adopt it. And that's there just in case something didn't go quite right with the way the calendar committee worked, in case somehow they didn't follow the task, but they sure did. They did exactly what they were asked to do.
Excellent, and then half the people will be happy, and at least the majority will be happy. Then again, you're never going to find a calendar that serves everyone's master and everyone's purpose. It is impossible.
Right.
So we know that's part of the thankless job that goes into that. So this calendar will be for the next 3 years, starting with 2016 August and running through the 2019 school year, and then your calendar committee will get together in another 2.5 years and do this all over again.
Right, and I will say, Mike, we had parents on this committee, we had teachers on this committee, we had administrators on the committee, and we had three students on the committee.
Great. And that's how it should be.
It is. And almost every single one of those people was there at the meeting on Tuesday. Several of them were the ones who presented the information to us. It was presented in such a coherent and logical and sensible fashion. I can't say enough about the work that these folks did because a lot of people might say, well, it's really easy. You know, just figure out, are you going to start school later, and then just figure out where you're going to have the breaks. But what they wanted to do is make sure that everybody on this committee came to some kind of consensus and they were all comfortable with that. And sometimes that's hard with a group that large, as you know.
I think
they did amazing work, and I'm just so very pleased that they were all willing to take their own time to do this for the school corporation.
And for those who didn't think that or think differently, well, there'll be another calendar committee coming up down the road. So make sure you throw your hat in the ring and make sure you get your comments and everything else in there, because if you want to be part of the process, there's more than one way to get involved. Now, a story that's been in and out of the papers for the last, I don't know, almost 2 years, the Seven Oaks Classical School. I know this isn't your purview, but I'd like your opinion on it. If at first you don't succeed, try again. And Seven Oaks was rejected. in October of 2014. In 2015 May, they pulled their application before the at the time, this was the ICSB, that's the Indiana Charter School Board, had a chance to look at it, but they are going back for another try, and that's coming up November 4th from 5:30 to 7:30. It's a Seven Oaks Classical School public hearing. It will be at the Holiday Inn Express on West 3rd Street there, 117 South Franklin Road. And this time, they are looking to find their charter through the Grace College Office of Charter. Sue, what does this mean for MCCSE or RBB or other the two school districts here in our county?
Well, once again, it means that we're talking about another school or the same school that's tried to form before. And any charter school, it's a public charter school, but again, it drains money off of our traditional public schools. And I know people say, yeah, but the money should follow the kids, and if you take that money out and the kids aren't there, you're not really losing anything. Well, you really are, because there's a whole lot more that goes into running a school corporation than just the amount of money that comes in for each student. I mean, it's an expensive enterprise, and as I looked at that application, which was huge, I didn't really see anything that they're proposing to do that we don't do or RBB doesn't do, except for teaching Greek and Latin in the elementary schools. And they're saying that they're teaching that because it helps with reading and comprehension later on down the road. But everything else they mentioned, the way they develop their curriculum, their pedagogy, everything is exactly the way we design our curriculum, what we do for our students and for all students. And I got to tell you, Mike, really honestly, I'm really concerned because Grace College is a Christian college and seminary. So Seven Oaks is using Hillsdale College, again, a Christian college, a private Christian college, to support their application, and they will be part of their curriculum development. And now they're seeking a charter from another Christian school. So you kind of wonder what the emphasis is really there, and is it going to be one of Christian education? And there were a couple things that I read in the application that really made it sound like
965 pages. Did you peruse all of that?
Well, it was almost 1,000 when you put with all the additions and everything, and it almost sounded like they want. Well, I think they did say they wanted to create their own culture. That our regular culture is pretty coarse, so they want to. It really sounded like we want to enclose our children in our own little school and keep them in their own little culture, which really is not the purpose of public education, which is for the common good, where we educate everyone to improve our society. So once again, my feeling is it's somebody trying to find a niche school. They want something special for their kids. And when they're dealing with a school corporation, which is outstanding and which is highly ranked in this state and highly recognized. So once again, I'm kind of confused why anybody wants to create their own little niche.
That's a fair point. And they did not get their... The first time they went around, they had some issues. They got denied. The second time, they pulled the plug. Is there a reason they didn't go back to the ICSB? I'm asking you to speak for them, I guess, in a sense. But it almost sounds like, well, if it doesn't work here, how many other places can you go to make this work? Who else can approve these charter schools? And is this essentially, if you put one of these together, you'll find somebody that will finally say, yeah, you can do it, no problem.
Right. And Mike, that's kind of my feeling. We're going to go find the person, or we're going to go find the group that will sponsor our charter. So, institutions of higher education can sponsor a charter, as well as the Office of the Mayor and the Indiana Charter School Board. So
that's Indiana state law, correct?
Yes. So it sounds like maybe they were frustrated with the process, and so they're going to seek somebody else to do the charter. Now, that chartering organization, you know, then becomes responsible to, you know, extend the charter or pull the charter. So, because there's been a number of charter schools that have been closed because the sponsoring organization didn't feel that they were meeting the expectations that they were supposed to educationally. So,
interesting.
I don't know. It sounds to me like if you don't if it doesn't get approved at one place, we'll go someplace else and try another place.
700 kids being taken out of the local schools, whether it's RBB or the MCCSE or a combination, which will probably be the issue of both. That's loss of headcount. That's loss of funding just to get things started, correct?
Right. Because when we were, the last time we were talking, we thought we would lose about $1 million to a new charter that might develop. And so essentially what that does, because kids don't come just out of one classroom or out of one school. Usually they kind of they're like evenly divided among classrooms and schools. So what it ends up doing is now we have to double up on classrooms because they've gone below our ratio. And so we're not going to have 16 kids and one teacher necessarily. So what it means is we have to cut back teachers, we have to have larger classes, and it just doesn't work as smoothly as saying we're going to just take our money and let it follow our students and spend it the way we want to. Now, Matt Pierce a few weeks ago at the Indiana Coalition for Public Education Forum said he believes that the goal of the state legislature is to eventually take the cap off of vouchers, take the cap off of everything. He can foresee where the state legislature just gives the parents the money and say, you go wherever you want to, which really, I hope it doesn't come to pass. But that's a horrible thought when you're talking about the true democratic purpose of public education for the public good and making sure that we all invest in the same thing and we're all invested in making our community the best it can be.
Bob Dylan once remarked, the times, they are a-changing, and that was quite a while ago, and we've changed since then, so...
Yes, sir.
Who knows where this train is headed, but we know on Thursday mornings you will keep us updated at least on where our local train is going, and we appreciate your time as always, Sue.
Okay, and you did mention that they're having that hearing on November 4th. And
correct.
I think
5:30 to 7:30.
People can submit comments, I think, until
they can.
November 11th.
They can submit comments through November 20th. The email is tjziebarth@grace.edu. So that's somebody's first initial last name or something that's not very easy to remember. Or
I know, really.
Yeah.
Or they can log on to the HT, and the link is there, and I'm sure we'll probably have a link on our website at MCCSC.
Good. And again, that's part of your, you can make your voice heard. And you're more than welcome to do so on all of that. Sue, have a great weekend. We'll get caught up with
you
next Thursday. We'll hear how your meeting went. Keith was on the phone. That was encouraging to hear.
He sure was on the phone that whole time, and he was quiet. It was probably hard for him being on a speakerphone to even participate or ask a question, but he was there the whole time. He said he really enjoyed the presentation. He learned a lot, and he said he was real pleased with the way the meeting went. So
very nice.
I'm happy about that.
Well, we hope Keith is on his road to recovery, and we hope to hear from him shortly. And, Sue, we'll hear from you next week.
Okie dokie, Mike. Have a nice weekend.